We've come to Jude 17, the book of Jude, verse 17, and we will read and study through verse 25 as we look at the closing words of encouragement from this short but great book. Remember that the Christians that he wrote to needed encouraging. There were false teachers who were trying to take advantage of these people and lead them away from the truth. And those false teachers were deceptive. They were greedy. They were self-willed. And they were brazen in their ways. And remember also that these false teachers had slipped into these congregations, and they acted like they agreed with everybody. And they even came to these get-togethers that these churches had when they got together for their meals that are called Feast of Charity or Love Feast. And when they came to those get-togethers, they acted friendly. And all the while, they had plans. They had plans to sow discord. And Jude is writing to these Christians to protect them and to encourage them. So let's begin in verse 17. In verses 17 through 19, Jude says to remember what the apostles warned. In verse 17, he said, "But beloved, remember the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ." And again, this seems to indicate that Jude was not one of the apostles. This Jude evidently was the brother of the Lord Jesus and not the Jude that is mentioned as being an apostle in Luke 6, verse 16. When Peter wrote the book of 2 Peter, he said something very similar to what we find here in Jude 17. He told his readers to be mindful of what the holy prophets wrote and of the commandment of us, the apostles. So when Peter talked about the apostles, he said, us, the apostles. He put himself in that number. But Jude doesn't do that here. He talks about the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what did the apostles warn about? Well, in verse 18, how that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time. These are people who scoff at the word of God. They may even laugh at it, but they certainly resist it and they rebel against it. And he says that these will come in the last time or the last age, and they will walk after their own ungodly lust. And of course, that is exactly what these false teachers did that Jude has been describing throughout this whole book. They are people who walk after their own ungodly lust, and they are mockers. They are scoffers. They don't want to submit to authority. And so it's interesting here that Jude says, you have been warned about this. The apostles told you about this, and they warned you about this. Now he's saying, you see why they warned you. Now the warning is not just in theory, it's real. These people are here among you. And these Christians now are seeing more than ever before that what the apostles said needed to be listened to, and it needed to be heeded. Now, he explains more what he means in verse 19 about these men walking after their own ungodly lust. He says in verse 19, "These be they who separate themselves." The New King James says they cause divisions. And that is exactly what these men did. They caused divisions in the church. They slipped into the congregations, they ate meals with these people, and they acted friendly, they acted like they agreed with the teaching and the beliefs of the congregation, but then they did their evil work. They sowed discord. They talked to people. They taught them something that was contrary to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so sometimes they might do it privately, sometimes they might do it publicly, but they were always very crafty and very deceptive about how they did it. The Bible shows that there is power in the tongue. And sometimes the tongue is used to sow a lot of discord. In Proverbs 16, verse 28, the Bible says that a crooked or a froward man sows strife, and a whisperer separates chief friends. Chief friends are best friends. And so if you want to separate best friends, just put a gossiper in the midst, because that gossiper will pull one of those people aside and he will talk about the other. And before you know it, those people who have been best friends will be enemies. Why? Because of somebody that is guilty of gossip. Now, these false teachers operate like that. They're not just people who stand up before a group and preach a false doctrine. They're people that work privately and in small groups any way they can to cause division. The Bible says that they separate themselves and they are sensual. The word sensual means carnal. It means fleshly, not spiritual, but fleshly and worldly. And it's interesting that this is the same word that is used in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. And there in the King James Version, it is translated natural. Paul said, "But the natural man does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." Paul said that if you have a carnal attitude, a person that has a worldly, fleshly attitude doesn't want the Word of God. The Word of God is foolishness to him, and he's not really going to understand it because he doesn't want to understand it. He doesn't want to receive it into his life because it corrects him. And so these people that Jude is describing here are sensual. They are like that. They are carnal and they are fleshly. And of course, that goes well in hand with what he has said about these people going back to verse 4. Remember in verse 4 of this book, he said that these false teachers turned the grace of God into lasciviousness. They took the doctrine of the grace of God and turned it into immoral lifestyles, telling people evidently that the grace of God covers sin, and so you can live any way you want to because the grace of God is going to be there for you. They had a sensual attitude and they had a sensual carnal life. He also says that they don't have the Spirit. And obviously, an ungodly heart is not a fit place for the Holy Spirit to dwell in. And then next, in verses 20 and 21, he gives them another exhortation to keep themselves in the love of God. In verse 20, he said, "But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith." Build yourselves up by studying the Word of God, by worshiping God, by doing good to other people, and especially, he says, praying in the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit intercedes for Christians as we pray, according to Romans 8, verse 26. The Bible goes on to say in Jude, verse 21, that as you're building yourselves up and you're praying in the Holy Ghost, that you are to keep yourselves in the love of God. Now, you might ask, well, doesn't God love us anyway? And doesn't the Bible say in Romans 8, 35 through 39, that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Well, yes, that passage says that. But Jude evidently here is telling us to live in accordance with that love. And in that way, we keep our hearts and our lives in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. In verses 22 and 23, we have a great passage about how to talk to other people and how to deal with other people who are in the wrong. In verse 22 and 23, here's what Jude says. He said, "Of some have compassion, making a difference." Verse 23, "And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh." Now let's look at these two groups. There are two groups of people here, two different kinds of people, and two different approaches that we're to use. The Bible says in verse 22, "Of some have compassion." When we approach some people who are in sin, we're to show more compassion with them than perhaps with others, because they, like you, are trying. They may not know. They may be unaware. They may be people who just need teaching. And so have compassion on those people. You don't have to be hard on those people, and you shouldn't be hard on them. because they're trying to learn. They're sincere. They're in the wrong. They're mistaken. But the Bible shows that you use a different approach for some people. Now, for instance, in John chapter 4, Jesus talked to the woman at the well. She was living with a man. She was wrong about her worship. She was wrong in several ways. But you'll notice that Jesus does not get on to her like he did some of the scribes and the Pharisees. You'll notice that he does not call her a hypocrite like he did the scribes and the Pharisees in Matthew chapter 23. He's very gentle with her. He is patient with her. He tells her that she's wrong. He told her that she was wrong about what she was doing. Woman, you worship you know not what. John 4, verse 22. So Jesus did not approve of what she was doing. He didn't condone her sin, but he did have compassion on her. Another example would be Acts chapter 8. The Ethiopian eunuch was trying to understand the Bible. He was reading from Isaiah 53, and he didn't know what it meant. Philip came along, and he taught him. He didn't jump onto him. He explained that passage, and he connected the dots from that passage to Jesus Christ. So with some people, we're to use that compassionate approach, whether that's somebody that is not a Christian at all or somebody in the church who, as Galatians 6 verse 1 says, has been overtaken in a fault. He didn't deliberately get into that sin, but he committed that sin and he needs correcting, but you don't correct him like you do somebody that deliberately and stubbornly persists in sin. Now, on the other hand, in verse 23, he said, there are others that you save with fear. You show that godly fear. You show the urgency, and they hear the urgency in your voice, pulling them out of the fire. Now, that means that you snatch them, you pull them out of the fire with the same kind of emergency kind of response and urgency that you would use if somebody was in a literal fire. You don't just take your time. You don't stand on the outside of that burning building and say, would you please come out? You pull them out. You snatch them out. And so you're more aggressive or assertive with those people, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Now, the garment spotted by the flesh means that that person's life, that person's soul, has been soiled by the sins of this world. So this person is guilty of sin. And you show the hatred that you have toward that sin. Now, Jesus didn't really show a lot of hatred toward the sin of the Samaritan woman. He let her know that she was wrong, but he did not have to use the kind of approach that Jude talks about here. Why the difference? Because some people are stubborn. Some people have been in sin so long that their conscience is dulled. And so you have to, in a sense, wake them up. And the Bible shows in verse 23 that we need to take that approach. And throughout the New Testament, you see that. In Titus 1, verse 13, Paul told Titus to rebuke certain people sharply, not to gently encourage them, but to rebuke them sharply. So when it comes to the question, how are we to talk to other people and what kind of approach should we use? Should it be stern or should it be gentle? The answer from this passage and these other verses that we've looked at is it depends on the person that you're talking to and the attitude that that person has. The Bible says in verse 24 then, now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.